This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
My name is Craig Fortunato. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm pastor of Community Life and Preaching, and it's my joy to be able to bring this final message here this morning for us and in our series at I Love You, Lord. So This sermon is entitled Fervent Gratitude because I think, as we'll see by the end of the service here, we'll just see how this psalmist was writing with such fervent gratitude. He really was saved by the Lord. So would you bow your heads in prayer with me for just one moment? Father, we come to you. We come to you with open hands, open eyes to see and ears to hear. And we pray that, God, that you would condition our hearts to be soft and pliable in your hands, that we would be a changed people by your grace and only by your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This Psalm 116, we started a few weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, and we started off with just the first section, the first four verses, talking about the love that this man has for the Lord, for redeeming his life, saving his life. And then we took a break from the series, and we got to hear from Pastor Zach in regards to the upcoming year and our focus and our vision for the year of re-equipping and challenging us to a 3x3x3 commitment, which I'll talk about a little bit later in the service. And then last week, Pastor Dale came up and shared with us just about the many mercies of God exhibited through verses 5 through 11. And today, it's my joy, it's my privilege to come and bring to us this last section of this beautiful psalm of gratitude, this psalm of thankfulness unto God for what only He can do. And so, looking forward to this. So let's get into this together. And thank you again, Russ, for reading. This is so beautiful because this man loves the Lord. He loves the Lord. And he is clear about that. Makes me think about when verse 12 in here makes me think about a saying that is often shared with people is, how can I repay the Lord for what he has done to me? How can I repay the Lord? I see this from verse 12 in how he says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? So how can I repay the Lord? If you think about that, you're like, what the Lord has done for us, what the Lord has done to us by granting us life, making us in the image of Him, and establishing life to us and giving us freedom and reign in the garden, and then we fail quickly out of the gate by sinning, willfully sinning, rebelling against God's plan, and therefore disease and destruction has only permeated this world because of our sin. And then what does God do again? He initiates once again in His grace and His mercies to us by sending His one and only Son, Jesus, to live a sinless, beautiful life, bringing miracles of healing and wonders of God, and He is left to willingly offer up His life, yield His life to death on a cross, a criminal's cross. So that we may have peace with God in our faith with Jesus. Our faith in Jesus, living a life in Christ, we may have peace with Almighty God. Our holy God. A holy God. A holy and powerful Almighty God. We can have peace through our faith in Jesus Christ. How can I pay you back for that? It's an understandable question. Once you've been stung, once you've been touched by grace, you can understand the question. Like, what can I say? What can I do to show you my gratitude, my thankfulness in my heart for what you've done for me? You can understand that. But you can also understand a question that cannot go answered. How can you say to God enough, thank you? How can you do that? The psalmist gives us some direction. And it's interesting how he does this. When he starts off, as I said, in verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? How can I repay the Lord, I say? Some people will do this by maybe offering their life up into ministry. I will give you my life into ministry. I'll go to the west ends of Africa like the Williams did for 35 years and serving there. I'll do anything. But the psalmist says in verse 13, he responds by saying something that I think is quite paradoxical. What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. This is to receive salvation. What does he do first? His first employment is not in what to do or what to say, is to receive more from the Lord. To receive more from the Lord. The psalmist has written about how I was surely in the clutches of death and you saved me. How can I thank you? How can I render what you have done for me? I will receive the cup of salvation. And this cup of salvation is a gift only from the Lord. This is not a gift of a cup of salvation you can purchase down at the end of the market. It is a gift from God, this cup of salvation. So right away, the psalmist says, what can I do? What can I say? He says, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will receive even more and more and more. And that's the beauty of the gospel, is that those of us who have received the gospel, is that we can behold the glory of God in a more and more abundant way that is overflowing. Receive salvation. Lift up this cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord is the first thing he will do, is receive more. How can I repay the Lord? I can receive salvation. Secondly, I can return unto the Lord. This is interesting how he does this. I will lift up the cup of salvation first, and then secondly, I will pay my vows to the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord. This man's life has been redeemed. It has been saved. He narrowly escaped death. And he credits only the Lord for this beautiful blessing in his life. And so he says, I will surely pay my vows to the Lord. What are these vows? Well, this man is going public with his doing. He's going to pay his vows. And this often could be seen as like the man who was saved from death, and now he is so grateful to the Lord, he's going to pay his vows. He'll go out into his livestock, and he'll walk through his sheep, he'll walk through his goats, and he's like, I want something big. I'm going after a cow. I want to get a cow, and I don't want that cow that's missing an eyeball, and I don't want this cow that's got a goiter on his neck with 10 pounds of fluid in it. I don't want that. I want that one right over there that is matchless in beauty. It is powerful. It is sleek. It's got a lot of fat on it. I want the best. I want the best. And so he brings that cow. And he brings it up to the priest. He says, this, I am paying my vow unto the Lord. I am paying my vow. And I'm happy to do it in front of all his people. He's making this public. His worship now is public. He's returning unto the Lord. And he has selected the most perfect cow, a precious gift unto the Lord for saving his life. So this is a way for him to express his gratitude, is he's going to ask for more. He's going to receive for more from the cup of salvation. And now he is going to pay his vows. And that can mean a bunch of honoring his debts to one another. He's going to repay his vows, and he's going to do it publicly. This man is sold out in finding ways to show and demonstrate his gratitude for God has saved his soul. Before we go on to my third point, I want to just take notice of verse 15, especially on a day like today. Verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He's identifying here, he isn't owed life. He knows others have died before him. Saints before him have died, and they've gone to be before the Lord. And precious they are in the Lord's sight. Precious. When the Lord brings home, he decides when he brings saints home into heaven with him. And that's where Tony is today. He's left this world and he's left his life of influence, and now we come alongside Juanita and we're going to grieve with her. She was married to this man 67 years. And now he is before the Lord and he is precious in the Lord's sight. Thirdly, I want to make mention about how we can repay the Lord, how we can render unto the Lord all of his benefits for us as we can serve the Lord. That's what he tells us in verse 16 and 17. Look how he says this. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. Clearly, he is serving the Lord. He wants to be serving in freedom unto the Lord. Not with chains, but with great freedom to serve the Lord in great love and adoration for the Lord, who he is. He gets to do this. And just this past week, we've been able to see about how people are coming alive to this call to re-equip and to serve. And I met with a group of people back in the study and learned about how the jail ministry just wants to come alive and start sharing the gospel again with people in the jail. And these are new members to the church who are wanting to go in there and they're wanting to crawl over each other and get a word in. You got to say it like this and you got to say it like that. There's an eagerness to come back and serve the Lord amongst these people here in this room. And you're responding. And I'm going to ask you to keep responding. Keep responding to what Zach preached 2 weeks ago, the 3x3x3. On this card that you guys have with you here, this 30 ways to care. The jail ministry isn't even on this card. This isn't limited to these opportunities. But with our 3x3x3, you can serve three different ways in three different areas. Let's go to that slide if we could jump ahead. Three different ways and three different areas within the world. So it's within the church, the neighborhoods, and the nations. Over the next 3 months. This started 2 weeks ago, so we got 2.5 months now. 3x3x2.5. So this is an opportunity for you guys to sign, and there's a simple QR code right here that you can screenshot, you can hit with your camera and be able to go easily and be able to sign up. Certainly for the Christmas family festival that's coming up that Wes already highlighted. Respond to God in great gratitude with service. Let us be service. Servants who serve strong and serve well. We've got many opportunities coming up. You know, when Zach shared about Jesus on his last night, 2 weeks ago, Zach shared this from John chapter 13. I think I got the verse up here for us. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Remember this account where Jesus took on the lowest form of a servant in the house on the biggest night, and he washed his disciples' feet and expressed, and so we should do one to another. We need to be servants. We need to lead out in service as our Lord and Savior did Jesus by offering his life for all. How can I repay the Lord? What can I say? What can I do to show my gratitude unto God? I will worship the Lord with a fervent gratitude. I will worship the Lord with fervent gratitude for all of that he's done for me. Universally, across mankind, he has loved us well by offering his son Jesus. His son Jesus Christ is the only hope that we have for reconciliation with God. Our only hope for having everlasting peace with God in heaven with him. Our only hope of escaping the clutches of hell for which we all deserve by our sin. Because we're all marked by sin. Jesus has paid it all. He has done it all, and therefore I will worship the Lord with fervent gratitude. It's evidenced by the way I live my life. Live my life by the way I treat other people, by the way I worship my God, by the way I start my day and the way I finish my night. It's evidenced by how we will love the Lord. This man clearly loves the Lord. He has been touched personally by this loving and gracious God. This gratitude that he feels is not the only part of gratitude, which is very real and very distinct when you're touched by God in his word, by the soft glow of a warm light, and you're having a moment where he reveals himself to you in his word, and it's making sense, and it's touching you to the depths of your heart. And you've got a willing pen and some interested paper that is taking down these notes as you journal. It's more than that. Gratitude in this vein means that it changes you in a life of discipleship. It changes you. Remember how Dale said last week in verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. It changes you. It doesn't just stay in your living room by the nice warm fire and some nice manuscripted notes. It changes your service. It changes how you visit with people, how you walk by people in the store. It changes how you engage with your neighbor. This gratitude changes us into a life of discipleship, becoming more and more like Jesus. We're engaging people with the unexpected joy of a life more and more dependent on Jesus. This world needs to see people full of this kind of love. This world needs to see people changed by this kind of grace. This world needs to see us Christians living out a life of fervent gratitude. And in no better time than right now. You know, this section of Psalms, Dale highlighted this last week, Psalms 113 through 118. These are called the Hallel Psalms. Some people refer to them as the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. And this Hallel simply means praises. Songs of praise. And the rabbis back in these times that Jesus was walking, they instructed people to be reciting these psalms at all the festivals, but certainly at the Passover. And so during the supper, when they would be sitting on the floor, reclining during this, when the servants would be serving these course after course after course after course of meal and wine, they'd be sitting on the floor. The table's just 18 inches off the floor, and they're reclining. It's an all-evening event. Don't plan a movie after this one. It's going to take all night because you're going to enjoy the fellowship of the table. You're going to enjoy looking back at how God was so faithful delivering the people out of Egypt. And the head of the family walks everyone right through this process of remembering what God did. And in these Egyptian Hallel Psalms, Psalm 113, 114 was sung at the very beginning part of the dinner. Sung or recited or chanted. And then Psalms 115, 116, 117, and 118, those four followed the meal. Let me reference this for you guys in Matthew chapter 26, verse 30. Recounting of the institution of the Lord's Supper. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup. He took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, the new covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. This is the Passover meal. This is Jesus' last meal. He will be dead in 24 hours on a cross. This is his last meal, his last time with his friends, his disciples. And he's looking around the room knowing that one of them is going to betray him. And one of the ones who is most close to him, Peter, is going to disown him. Now, I've never knew the guy. Three different times before morning light. These are Jesus' friends, and this is his last intimate meal. And the very next thing this says in verse 30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Friends, this hymn, 116, Psalm 116, could be that was probably sung that night by Jesus and his disciples. Let's look back on some of those lines together, knowing that Jesus is singing this song. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Verse 1. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompass me. The pains of Sheol lay hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. Praise the Lord. When I was brought low and he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. And I don't want to make too much of this, but verse 8, Jesus is singing this, his last night. He knows what is ahead of him. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. If you're Jesus, the Son of God, and you know what's coming your way, how does that not just move your heart? And what's about to happen in the hours that follow? Verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation, which makes me think of this cup that Jesus is talking about. As he says, this is the blood of the new covenant. Drink it. Drink it. In remembrance of me. His sacrifice is coming. And call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant. The son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, he repeats, in the presence of all his people. The courts of the house of the Lord in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. He sings, he chants this, he recites it. Jesus gave it all. He really gave it all. The opening verse, the psalmist says, I love the Lord. My question to you is, do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? As you think back as to how he has universally given his son Jesus on the cross and resurrected him from the grave, proven that he was God, and you have faith with him now. You have peace with God, peace with Almighty God by your faith in Jesus Christ, and you're living in Christ with him. Do you love the Lord? Or further beyond that universal love, but how he has specifically loved you. How he has specifically touched you. How he has specifically known your request and heard it and answered it. Do you love the Lord? Have you cried out to the Lord? Has he heard your cry? We know that after Jesus left his disciples that night at the Last Supper, the Passover Supper, they went on from there to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked them to stay watch, keep alert, keep awake. I'm going to go over here and pray. And he fell on his face and pleaded with God to take this cup of wrath of judgment upon all mankind. Take this away from me. If there be any way, take this cup away from me. But then he moves forward in prayer. And he says, your will be done. What can I say? What can I do for what this Jesus has done for me? How can I repay the Lord? I can receive more. More of his grace. Lifting up the cup of salvation. I can receive more. I can return unto the Lord and pay my vows. I can live a life of discipleship. I can pour my life into another person. I can forgive as I have been forgiven. I can love those who are unlovable. I can love my enemies. I can live a life of a disciple. I can love well, forgive well, and live a life of fervent gratitude. What can I say? What can I do? We can praise the Lord. I can live a life unto the Lord and worship the Lord with fervent gratitude. These are the things I can do. And simply say thank you. Psalm 116 is a beautiful psalm. Amongst them, but 113 through 118, to praise the Lord. If you're looking and struggling to pray unto the Lord, go to the Psalms and pray them aloud. It's a beautiful pen that we can find ourselves aligned with the Lord. With that, would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Father, I pray for my friends here as we examine our lives before you, as we examine what you have done for us universally and also personally. You have done much, and we are in desperate surrender to you. You are a good God. You are a good and faithful God. You've granted us life here again today to breathe, to be influenced, to influence others, to forgive others, to love and be loved. So, Father, I pray for my friends now that we would respond in great adoration for who you are and what you have done. You have done it all. And all we can simply do is receive and thank you. Give you praise and serve you. Serve you as only in the image of the one who served so well, Jesus. We lift our time to you now. Be blessed. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Life Point Church. It is our greatest desire that every person would trust Jesus Christ as the leader of their lives and the forgiver of their sins. If you would like to make this decision today or find out more, please visit sharethelife.org.